feet and daylight unto my path. And a light unto, a light unto my path, my path.
Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. Some portions of Scripture seem to be troubling to us. Most of it is clearly wonderful. But every once in a while, we come across a section that confuses us. For many people, our text today is one such section. This is the story from Judges chapter 11 about Jephthah and his daughter. Let's now go ahead and join Pastor John as he shares the story and the meaning for us.
Judges chapter 11. A number of years ago, when Peter John, my son, was 8 years of age, he and I and my younger brother Jimmy, he and I and Jimmy were sitting around the kitchen table. And we were talking about the Apollo moonshots. And we talked about the amazing fact of man going to the moon. And Peter John asked a question I'll never forget. Daddy, why do those guys wear space suits? Why did they wear space suits on the moon when they went there? And I said, well, Peter, because there's a lack of oxygen and they need to have an oxygen system fed in to that spacesuit for breathing of oxygen. And besides that, the pressure is so much different on the moon that they needed to have pressurized suits lest their bodies explode, you see. And he said, well, Daddy, if those guys were the first ones on the moon, how did they know that? And I looked at Peter and I thought, good question. The first guys, how did they know that they would need pressurized suits and oxygen? Good question. Well, we continued to talk, Peter John and myself and Uncle Jimmy. We talked about space and the wonders of creation and how God spoke all the creation, all the cosmos into existence. He just said the word and it was. And Peter John piped in again and said, well, Dad, he says, tell me. He says, God made all of this in 6 days, just speaking the word, right? Exactly, PJ. Well, then how come on the seventh day he had to rest? He said, I can speak 6 days and I don't get tired at all. I can speak day after day. I don't need a rest. And by that time, I looked over at Jimmy, who was sitting next to me, my younger brother, and I said, Jimmy, you answer that question. And Jimmy looked at Peter John and says, I don't know, PJ. Maybe God just had a sore throat from all the speaking he was doing or something. And it's interesting, the questions that come up, the questions that come our way. We often say, why is that? Well, then, in that same conversation, after Jimmy gave that answer and we kind of chuckled a bit, then Jimmy looked at me rather seriously and he said, tell me, John, he says, is there any passage in the Scriptures that completely perplex you? Is there a question that you have about the Scriptures that you just say, I don't have a clue. I can't figure it out. It's completely, absolutely beyond my ability to make any sort of sense of. He asked that question. And at that time, I can recall thinking about this story and discussing our text today. You see, this passage, our text today, for years was a great mystery to me, very troubling. disturbing, perplexing. The story borderlines on the bizarre. The story is one that can cause confusion, raises questions, can be upsetting when we read it initially. It's an amazing text. It's an amazing story. It's troubling. Well, I want us to look at that text today because what was once perplexing and problematic for me has now become very practical and powerful to me. And I want to share this with you because I think there's a grand lesson to be gleaned for those that have ears to hear. You might read this or your kids might read this and say, what's this about? But I think after our study today, hopefully you will have some insight, some understanding to help them not only answer the question theoretically, but to do better in their own lives practically. So Judges chapter 11, this story that borderlines on the bizarre. Let's take a look at it, shall we? Verse 29. Judges chapter 11, verse 29. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. He's the main character in our story today. He passed over Gilead and Manasseh, passed over Mizpah, and he passed over unto the children of Ammon, the Ammonites, the enemy of Israel, you see. Verse 30, and Jephthah, this judge that we're looking at today, he vowed a vow to the Lord, and he said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth out of the doors of my house to greet me, to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. If you give me victory over the Ammonites, I'll give to you whatever is there in my front yard when I come back to my house again. No doubt he was thinking it would be a bull or a sheep or a goat, maybe. Well, the story goes on. Jephthah, verse 32, passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them. And the Lord delivered them into his hands. He smote them from Aroer, even till you come to Meneth. Even 20 cities and to the plain of the vineyards with a very great slaughter. He cleaned their clock. He wiped them out. Thus, verse 33 goes on to say, the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel, who were led by Jephthah that day. Then, verse 34, Jephthah came to Mizpah to his house, and behold, remember the promise he made, the vow he said. Behold, his daughter came out to meet him with a tambourine or a timbrel and dances, and she was his only child. Beside her, he had neither son nor daughter. It came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes, tore his clothes, and said, alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low. And thou art one of them that trouble me. For I have opened my mouth to the Lord, and I cannot go back. Referring to the vow that he made. The first thing that came out of his house, or was there to greet him at his house, would be offered as a burnt offering to the Lord. It's his daughter. He's troubled greatly. And she said, verse 36, my father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord to do to me according to that which proceeds out of thy mouth, do it. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even the Ammonites. And she said to her father, verse 37, let this thing be done for me. Let this happen, though. Do what you said you would do, Dad, but let this happen. She says, let me alone 2 months that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my friends. And he, the father, said, Jephthah said, go. He sent her away for 2 months, and she went with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. The fact that she would never be married, you see. This young lady would never be married nor have a family, obviously. She was to be sacrificed to the Lord. It came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned to her father, who did with her according to his vow which he vowed. She knew no man, or was never married, or knew a man sexually. And it was a custom in Israel, verse 40 goes on to say, that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days each year. What a story. Why is this here? What does this mean? How could it be that we hear in our story about a daughter, a judge, a leader of Israel, offering his daughter, his only child, as a burnt offering to the Lord? How could this be when God abhors human sacrifices and forbade it in the law previously? What's going on here? And many of the commentators that you will read, if you read Bible commentaries, or many of the sermons that you might hear that are preached on the stories of the book of Judges, will say that Jephthah here in our story is an example of what we ought not to do. That is to make vows rashly, to make deals with God, you see. And they will say this is an example, a story of what ought not to be done. And that even if he made that vow, he should have retreated from that promise, from that vow, and not gone through with what he said he would do. I'm not sure that I agree with those commentators or with that perspective. The reason is because, well, many of you know that Hebrews chapter 11 is God's hall of faith. We have hall of fames in our country. There's the baseball hall of fame at Cooperstown. There's the football hall of fame at Canton. All kinds of hall of fames. Well, God has his hall of fame too, his hall of faith. It's Hebrews chapter 11. And only a few men are inducted. Only a few people make it in. Only a handful of guys. Very few in number. And one of them, though, that is inducted in that hall of faith is Jephthah. Jephthah is listed in that hall of faith as being one of the few selected or elected by God to be in that hall of faith. Because of that fact, I do not believe that he is an example of what we ought not to do necessarily, but he is really a picture, an example for me and you of what Psalm 15 speaks of. Keeping a finger here in Judges, would you turn with me, if you can turn there quickly? If not, just listen to Psalm 15. Psalm 15 is a short psalm, 5 verses long, that talks about and deals with those who get to dwell close to the Lord. Those who have real fellowship with the Lord. So look at Psalm 15. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Lord, who can really hang out with you? Who can really be close to you? The answer is given in the next verses. He that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. Verse 3, he that doesn't backbite with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned, not celebrated, but condemned. And he that honoreth them that fear the Lord. Those that fear God are honored, not those that are against the Lord. Then verse 4 ends with this phrase, and he that sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. That is, he that takes a vow, makes a pledge, proclaims a promise, and even though it hurts him, he does not go back on what he said he would do. This is one of the keys that Psalm 15 points out to you and me that God is looking for in a man. It's true, those that don't backbite, those that don't look favorably upon evil, but also those that are willing to follow through with what they said they would do, even if it kills them, hurts them, breaks their heart. No matter what, God declares, this is my kind of guy, a guy that will keep his word no matter what, will keep his commitment no matter what. And Jephthah did just that. Oh no, when he saw her come out playing her tambourine and dancing when she heard the report that her daddy had won the victory. She was so happy. He didn't evidently think that she would be home. He evidently thought she would be off at college somewhere or at the mall or down at the beach or whatever it might be. Evidently, he didn't have a clue that she would be home. And when she comes out to greet him, oh, his heart is broken. His life is shattered. She is his only child. But he goes through with what he said he would do. And listen, mom and dad, she, the daughter, wants him to. Do what you said you would do, daddy. You're a man of integrity. You're a man that was used, and now keep the commitment that you made, you see. Jephthah was a man that was used. Jephthah was raised up by the Lord to do battle, as we read, with the Ammonites. The story is an interesting one. We'll look at more closely on Wednesday night. What happened was that the Ammonites were oppressing the people of Israel. And the people of Israel knew that they needed somebody, a man of valor, a man who was a warrior, a guy that could be a leader to lead them against the Ammonites. And there was nobody around them, those men of Israel, that qualified. But there was a guy on the other side of the Jordan River, way up north, on the east side of the Jordan River, out of the proper boundary of Israel, if you would, who was living in a place called Tob. And he was a ruffian. He was a head of a gang that was made up of vain fellows or rough guys. It was called the Tob Mob. And this guy's name, who was the head of the Tob Mob, was this Jephthah. You see, his brothers there in Israel had kicked him out of their home. Get out of here. Why? Because he was the son of a harlot. His father took on a harlot and conceived, and this Jephthah was born. And the other brothers, the half-brothers, said, hey, you're illegitimate. You don't belong here. Get out. Leave. And he went to this rough, tough neighborhood called Tob. It was a rough region. It was a tough place to be. But God was using that tribulation, that difficulty, to make Jephthah a man who was tougher than nails. A man who was a man of valor. Just like what God does with you. What God does with me. Tribulation brings preparation. Why am I going through this, Lord? Why do we have to deal with this, Lord? Because this tribulation is preparing you for what's coming down the pike. It's preparation, Johnny, the Lord would say to me. It's preparation, he would say to you too today. Hey, the tribulation, being ostracized, fired, kicked out, mocked, put down, left, whatever it might be, and now you're in a tough place on the east side of the Jordan River. Isolation, difficulty. It's preparation for a coming victory. And Jephthah grew up to be a tough guy. And now when the people of Israel were in trouble, they made their way to him that day, the first part of the chapter tells us. Would you come and lead us? You and these these ruffians that are around you, these vain fellows, these tough guys. Okay, I'll lead you under one condition. I will lead you against the people of Ammon. I'll lead you against the Ammonites. But here's what you got to do. You got to allow me to be the ruler over you. You got to allow me to be the king when I wipe out the Ammonites. And they said, okay, deal. And that's where our story picks up. That's where this event takes place. At first, you see, he was trying to make peace with the Ammonites. We'll talk about that on Wednesday. It's a classical commentary on Middle Eastern peace negotiations and why they don't work. And then they go to war, and God delivers the people of Israel and gives Jephthah the victory. The Spirit of God comes upon him, and victory is given to him. And then he goes home. His daughter greets him. Daddy, do what you promised to. You're a man of integrity, but let me go bewail my virginity for 2 months. Now, did Jephthah really kill his daughter? Did he really follow through and do what it appears the text is saying to me and you? Did he actually sacrifice her? It is debatable. What do you mean? Well, if you look at verse 31, the last phrase there, where Jephthah says, in this vow that he makes, in this promise that he proclaims, this pledge that he gives, he says, whatsoever comes forth out of the doors of my house to meet me when I come in victory shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. The word "and" there in the Hebrew, the word "and" there in that last phrase, Bible students note this, it can be translated "or." And that's why in your margins, if you have a Bible with marginal references, it does say in the reference in the margin, an alternative reading. It will be the Lord's, or I will offer it up for a burnt offering. In other words, the first thing that greets me, I'll give it to the Lord, or I will offer it up as an offering for the Lord. One or the other. This is a possible rendition. So, in other words, whatever greets me, I'll either give it to the Lord, or I'll offer it as a sacrifice for the Lord. One or the other. And there are those that believe that it's that second rendering that should be utilized in our story. That he didn't really offer his daughter as a burnt sacrifice, but gave her to the Lord, where she went to the mountains with her friends for 2 months. They came down and she stayed there and lived in a cloistered state by herself, kind of like a cloistered nun.
This is certainly a possibility, but in either case, it showed remarkable integrity for Jephthah to keep this commandment to the Lord. Pastor John has much more to say on this topic of commitment, so we hope that you can join us again next time for the continuation of this teaching. We'll see you then.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
The Apostle Paul said that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you would like to increase your faith and hear more of the Word of God, you may wish to consider Pastor John's complete set of Through the Bible teachings. This set contains over 1,200 teachings from Genesis to Revelation in MP3 audio format. These MP3 formatted teachings can be used with most mobile phones, computers, tablets, or other mobile devices. You may order Pastor John's Through the Bible MP3 audio set from our website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is an independent ministry that is not financially supported by any church or organization. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.